Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
It's a Mike Calda show. This is Stuttering John. Listen to this. I love this song.
It's got a little bit of a Pastor Pussy feel to it.
Yeah. I think it's good. By the way, Stuttering John currently lost in my neighborhood. Which I'm going to tell you is not the easiest. It's not the easiest neighborhood to
yeah, there's a lot of
navigate.
You got the roundabouts and you got the different stuff going on there.
Are you familiar with the French actor Gerard Depardieu?
Depardieu, yes, of course. He was a quite the ladies' man, and then he got very fat.
He did get very fat and then was still quite the ladies' man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, in Europe, they look at fat guys as a sign of wealth and opulence. Here is the only country where they look at a guy like me and shake their heads with sadness.
How dare they?
72-year-old actor reportedly indicted for rape and sexual assault.
Yowza.
Which he committed in, allegedly committed in 2018.
He should have just Gerard Depardieu don't do that.
He looks like fat French Robert De Niro. Like, you know how would have De Niro when he gets fatter for roles?
Right, and has the beard and stuff.
Well, this is, he looks just like a fat De Niro. I know Depardieu was in the Columbus movie where he played Columbus, but I never saw that epic. But I do know him from the movie Green Card. Do you remember that?
Yeah, Green Card with, what's her
Andy
name?
McDowell.
Andy McDowell, yeah.
Where he played a sloppy French guy who married Andy McDowell for the Green Card. And, you know, then they have, of course, they have trials and tribulations. At the end, they fall in love.
He was in the Man in the Iron Mask with DiCaprio.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, and Jeremy Irons and all them in there.
I didn't see any of that. Spanish, hold on. Let's get an update. Go ahead. What do you got? So Stuttering John, the gate called at about 5, to maybe 10 to 8.
Okay.
It is now 8:08, 20 minutes from when he came through the gate.
Right.
And there is still no sign of him.
Correct.
Is it possible he's at one of my neighbor's houses?
I don't know, because I called him and he didn't answer. Gio's calling him right now again to see what happened. But, you know, I don't...
It should take approximately 2 full minutes, 100...
If that.
120 seconds to get here from the guard gate.
Yeah, and that's if you're driving slow, which, you know.
But I don't know, maybe he went to a different gate. There's 3 different entrances, so I don't know which one he came in. The one, if you come in off of Del Mabry, it's hard because you got to go past the golf course and the whole deal. It's a little bit of a drive.
Okay.
So, John, if you're listening, call the number back that's calling you, and we'll get you here. I don't, you just follow the turn left here, turn right here. I don't know.
Yeah. I hope he makes it, though. Nothing bad happened in between the guard gate and your place.
Yeah, yeah. Or do you?
I know.
I mean, what would really happen if this is where
he... Oh, dude.
Galvin, do we want to do open letter here?
Do you want to continue with news?
Oh, yeah, yeah. All right. Well, yeah, sorry. We'll continue with news until John gets here. Here we go.
So there's a TikTok video that is blowing people's minds right now. Now, I'm going to tell you that I already knew this, and I would think that you guys probably already knew this, too. What does it mean whenever they give the weather forecast and they say there's a 20% chance of rain or a 50% chance of rain? Do you know what that means?
I would say that out of 100%, there's 20% chance that it would rain.
Okay. Spanish, do you think that's the same or you think it's something different?
I would say basically the same. Out of that day of 100%, yeah, 20% chance that it's going to rain.
Interesting. Anybody else have any different thoughts?
Like it depends at the time, because sometimes they'll be like at 7 o'clock. there's a 20% chance, and at 8 o'clock, there's
90%. Yeah, but still, it would mean the same thing. Like, if I'm getting up and I go, should I bring an umbrella, and they say 50% chance of rain, I would think half a chance of rain, I'm bringing an umbrella.
What if they said in the Tampa Bay area, there is a 20% chance of rain?
That in the Tampa Bay area, it most likely will not rain because 80% of it says no.
Yeah.
Okay, no, no, that's not correct. What it is if the forecast calls for 30% chance of rain, that does not mean there's a 30% chance that it's going to rain. It's based on a formula that multiplies how likely it is to rain by how much of the area will be rained on.
Oh.
So if you're in Tampa and they say it's 30% chance of rain, there's only 30% of Tampa that's going to get rain.
Ah.
So they know it's going to rain.
So you could be in the other 70% that's not going to have any rain.
Okay.
You
that
understand?
Makes sense.
Yeah. So there was a girl on TikTok that explained it, but then there's a meteorologist that actually explains it better. Here is the meteorologist, and we have it up on Bone TV kind of explaining the situation. Here we go.
Probability of precipitation, or POPs, as we call it for short. It's a pretty simple equation. Confidence times coverage. Okay, most often this is used for coverage. So let's say that I'm 100% sure that 30% of the forecast area will see at least some measurable rain. Then I'd forecast a 30% chance for rain, right? Basically, to boil it down, if you stay in one spot all day and there's a 30% chance for rain, then you have a 30% chance for rain. If you move around a little bit throughout the day, your chances will go up. Important to remember, the percentage has nothing to do with how much rain falls. You could have a 10% chance for rain and still end up with flooding if you get caught under a rogue thunderstorm. Now, it also doesn't really help that a lot of different meteorologists have different definitions, but this is the actual technical definition.
So there you go. Now you know.
Okay. That's interesting.
You guys learned something.
All these years, we didn't know nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
They don't explain it well then. I put that on them.
I don't think anybody's ever explained it. We just figured.
Yeah, bad weather people.
Hey, somebody explained that to me a long time ago, and I knew that, and I was like, oh, okay, but I didn't realize that other people didn't understand that.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, thanks for telling us, Colin.
Sorry, I didn't know.
Don't hold secrets.
The other day, some greatest thing happened to me.
What's that?
I was on Instagram Live. And with Holly Saunders, I was watching her.
Oh,
trying on some clothes.
Watching you. Whoa.
Well, like she was like, "What do you think of this jacket? What do you think of that?" And I was just watching her, and she looked down and she said hi to me. She goes, "Oh, hi, Mike."
Yeah.
What?
Oh, I bet that felt good.
Because you tipped her.
No.
Yeah.
Tip her.
Different site.
Can you do that?
I don't know. Do it on TikTok from Geo. Is what Geo says.
I'm not gonna lie. I would tip her.
Right.
Which doesn't need my money, I don't think. But.
Well, speaking of TikTok, there is a new dating app called Snack. That's a good name for a dating app. I'm telling you right up front, that's a good name. And it's targeting people who love TikTok letting its users upload videos instead of photos. Oh. That's smart. That's good because there's a lot of people that can take a good photo, you know, up above and you got the right light and stuff. But video, you're going to see a lot more. And see, you know, maybe a little bit more of their personality, see a little bit more of their body.
Right. Like, you have to introduce yourself so they know you can, like, speak.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Without,
I'm sorry, Carmen. How was it?
What was that?
I went on one Tinder date, and this guy was definition of
I'm
that.
Sorry.
I don't know what in the world I would do. Well, on a Tinder date, I would just not know what to talk about. I would be miserable. Hey, John is here. Sit there, buddy. How you doing?
Okay.
Good to see you, my man. How are you? Hey, turn that back up, Spanish, so we can hear. Yeah, I don't know why. I never had to do that, but I would meet somebody, a stranger, and then go out there. You ever go on a Tinder date? Pull that thing right in front of your mouth there. You ever go on a Tinder date or online?
When haven't I?
Oh, really?
Yeah. My next book is going to be called John Line Dating.
if you're famous, do you, like, if people know who you are, do you go on?
It helps me get laid.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, does it?
Yes.
Or it, okay, all right. Also, but you were famous for doing, like, goofy stuff back in the day. So does that hurt you or does it help? Like, Steve-O gets laid, and he does the goofiest stuff.
Well, it helps.
Yeah.
Because, you know.
People love fame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
What'd you get lost?
Hey, OJ is getting laid.
Oh, that's true. OJ, too.
What's he famous for again?
So is it your son who would, you know, who drove the golf cart into the
bush? Yeah.
Is his name Tiger Woods?
No. I didn't even think of that, no. What did you get lost on the air?
Tiger was always a better putter than he was a driver. What?
Stop. You cannot make those horrible jokes if you expect people to come see you at Side Splitters.
All right.
How you doing, my man?
I'm good, man.
What happened? You were, it took like 20 minutes. You were lost.
I had my the iPhone and it died when I was right in front, when it was right on TPC.
Yeah. So you were close.
Yeah, and then I didn't remember what the house number.
That's hilarious.
Was. And I had to go all the way back to the guardhouse. Uh-huh. And then I'm driving, and then like people are beeping because you got to go 25 miles per hour. And I'm passing golf carts and everyone's beeping at me because I'm like a truant.
How you been, man? Everything good?
This is awesome. So this is like the whole studio in here. I love it.
Yeah, no, not bad, right?
Yeah, I've done your show before.
Yeah, you've been on the show a couple of times, but you've been in the studio with us in the building before, yeah. Do you know about this? I saw he was tagging you on it yesterday. This Ian Halpern, who's got this Stern thing out now?
I had him on my show.
Oh, already?
Last week. Are you kidding me?
Oh.
It's on YouTube now. It, like, he goes off on it.
Well, okay, so I remember him saying that, I think he was on Opie and Anthony's show a couple of years ago, and he was threatening to write, he's like, if I get so many followers, I'll do this thing on Howard. So you knew he had something coming in the hopper. But I don't know, I haven't seen it yet.
It's amazing. You know,
I told him yesterday if he wanted to call in while you were here because I didn't know you had already talked to him. Yeah.
Oh my God. He did my show. And, you know, it's weird because a lot of my people liked him, but certain people didn't because he talks like he goes, Howard, baby.
Yeah, Howard, baby.
I know you're listening. But the weird thing that I kind of knew is that I'm stuttering, Mike.
I know. Well, that's your name. I'm used to it.
Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
He was mad at Howard because Howard was I was there with Howard and Howard was doing bits of, you know, when Sinatra had Alzheimer's.
Right.
So Sinatra put a hit on Howard through the Gambino family.
Really?
And you know, he was that mad and they killed somebody with Howard's description, Howard's same birthday, right by Scores where we used to hang out.
Shut up.
Yeah.
They got the wrong guy.
Yeah, Ian Halpern's got the whole story. I was like, oh my God.
Shut up.
You know, and that explains why Howard always, you know, always carries a gun.
Yeah. Now those scores guys, because didn't that come into, wasn't that part of the Goomba Johnny thing later on that they were forcing him, the mob owned that place and they were forcing Goomba Johnny to plug it on the radio? That was like a whole FBI thing a couple years ago.
Well, I know that we used to get those Scores parties. And they'd give us like thousands in funny money.
Yeah.
And it was just like a brothel in there.
But we all been through that. We roll through a strip club here. They take care of us.
Yeah.
Because they know you're going to talk about it on the radio, and it always works out. So that's not so bad. But I remember Goomba Johnny was a guy who was like a bouncer, and he ended up doing mornings at like Hot or something in New York. Yeah. And then there was an investigation into the people who own the clubs were threatening him to give plugs on the air for the clubs.
Oh,
yeah, and it had to be like the FBI involved. I got to tell you, that whole New York thing, man, there's so many, because you got to deal with the cops, the mob, the good guys, the bad guys, the government. It gets crazy.
Yeah, but I'm too stupid. Like, I had no idea that Scores was a mob.
Oh, right.
You know, I'm just like, you're that big of an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm just like, hey, wow, chicks. You know, and we were all married, so it was like a great way to not cheat, but
kind of have fun. Yeah. But you know what? I always thought, I never, I mean, obviously, I like a naked girl as much as the next guy, but I was always jealous when I heard the stories about that because it just seemed like a fun thing for your buddies to go do. It was kind of innocent, like the Super Bowl parties and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's just a fun thing for the guys to go do.
Yeah, and it was a way, like, we didn't get in trouble with the wives.
Yeah. This is John Melendez. You know him as Stuttering John, which I don't know where Spanish go. I got to turn your mic up a little bit. I don't know which... There you go. How's that?
Yeah, perfect.
Better?
Yeah,
sorry
is that
about
better?
That. Yeah. So, John.
Well, anyway, thanks for having me on, Mike.
Yeah, I love having you on.
Hey, guys.
John worked.
Sorry, my heart's rich.
Relax. You want a water or something?
Sure.
Yeah, see if there's one in that fridge, will you? So, John worked for Howard for years and then went to The Tonight Show, where he was The Tonight Show announcer and street guy and had success there. And now, since Jay left... That had to be rough, though, when Jay left, because you were making great money.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. I get there. I move my whole family from the Stern Show to L.A., and then within a month that I'm there, Jay holds a meeting. Hey, guys, I'm just going to say I'm leaving in 5 years. I'm like, 5 years? Like, I'm like, Jay, I haven't even unpacked yet. And I was, like, panicked.
Yeah.
Thankfully, Conan bombed, and then we stayed for another five, but still, you know.
That's a good run. So I remember you told us you were making, like, four times what you made in New York.
Well, Jay actually told us when he was on.
Yeah. That's Calvin. He's back at the station.
Where the hell's his voice?
Didn't mean to confuse you.
That's 10 voices in my head.
Carmen and Calvin are back at the station.
Oh, hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
Oh, God. Hi, Carmen. I was looking forward to meeting you.
Yeah. Sorry. They stuck me in here.
Yeah. it's not as good as it sounds.
No?
I'm just kidding, Carmen. She's adorable.
Would you like Kenyatta? See, I listened to the show on the way here.
Yeah, I always worry about that. I'm worried about if a guy's formulating an opinion on the show based on the day that he heard on the way here.
I think I know every story from How to Not.
Good, you know? Good. All right.
That's how I knew that your son hit the bush.
Yeah, yeah. Let me. All right. So let's talk about this for a second. I don't know the inside, so I'm going to ask you questions about what I know, and you tell me what you can. I have listened to Howard.
Anyone, I'm an open book.
I have listened to Howard since my mother listened on WNBC when I was a kid.
WNBC.
When he was on, so I am a longtime fan. Okay.
Yeah.
But I have not listened in the past 2 years, but partly because I'm not in the car as much, but also because it just seems to me it's not my thing anymore. And what really I think lost me was, but I don't know the inside behind this. What really lost me, and I lost respect, was the Scott the Engineer. Scott is a longtime employee of Howard's, mm-hmm. whose wife, from what I understand, had cancer. And I remember he started a GoFundMe page. And I thought, if I made $100 million a year, and anybody on my show had a wife who was dying and needed money for treatment or whatever it was, I would stroke that check in a second.
Hey, Mike, I got to tell you, it's worse than that.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. So tell me what the real story is.
In fact, I'm going to see Scott, you know, when I'm out here, because he's in Delray Beach, and I'm going back to do the Boca Black Box. But I talked to Scott after all this, you know, after all this happened.
Right.
First of all, this is how sad it is, Mike, because when I was at Howard, he wasn't this much of an elitist.
Right.
Scott went and approached Howard in the hallway, you know.
Now, are you allowed to do that? Can you go directly to him?
Well, that's what, hold on.
Oh, okay.
You know, so he goes to ask Howard if he could set up a GoFundMe. When he approaches Howard, Howard goes, you know you're not allowed to talk to me. Go
really?
Talk to Marcy. This is after 30 years of loyal service.
Right, three different radio stations.
Scott the Engineer was the one who gave Howard my audition tapes. You know,
oh, really? Yeah.
I mean, you know you can't talk to me because no one's allowed to approach Howard. No one on the show is allowed to talk to Howard in the hallway or off the air. You know, that's how it is. So then Scott goes to Marcy Turk, who I call Yoko Turco because she pretty much ruined the show.
She's the office manager. She runs the whole show now.
So Scott goes to Marcy and goes, can I set up a GoFundMe? She goes, you can, but you can't call yourself Scott the Engineer, and you can't say you're from the Howard Stern Show. Okay, fine. Scott does it, and he raises $70,000. This is all for his wife's chemo.
How much you need? Do you know?
Well, he needed $50,000 for his wife's chemo.
Okay.
But he raised even more. So, you know, because his wife was literally dying.
Right.
All right. So he does that. Howard gets embarrassed because everybody's like, Howard, you're a billionaire.
Yeah.
You can't give your own, like, staff.
$50,000.
$50,000. So Howard gets embarrassed. Guess what they do? They demote Scott to the floor beneath them. He is not a paid Stern Show employee. Now he's a serious employee.
They write him
out of every script. And everything else, he's not mentioned on the air anymore. And then when his wife unfortunately dies, a man who's worked with Howard for 30 years, does Howard go down, give him a hug? No. He sends him an email with two sentences. Beth and I are sorry for your loss, and we donated to a charity in your wife's name. That is it.
Why didn't they donate to him?
Exactly. That's all he got. And then 6 months later, he gets fired.
I have to tell you, that's awful. Now, in full fairness, I don't know what the situation was. Scott may have been a complete a-hole.
No.
He may have been, I don't know. I'm just saying, Howard may have run its course with him. But here's my thing, is that Scott's moments on that show, like yours and Gary's and the other folks, help make that show the success that it is. He doesn't get the $100 million without the things that went on in the past. So how do you not honor that? How do you not honor the people who helped you get where you are?
That's the thing, Mike. Any normal... Jay Leno.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a juxtaposition of personalities. Jay, his office door is open all the time. Anybody can come in, a page, you know, an intern, like anybody, a writer, a producer, you know, a stagehand, anyone can come in. Come on, say hi to Mr. Leno. And he'll talk to... Jay's paid for people's hospital bills, yeah. You know, everything else. And every Christmas, you know, we got thousands in a Christmas bonus directly from Jay.
Right.
Directly from Jay. You know what I got for Christmas from Howard?
What?
I swear to God, I was an intern. I wasn't making a dime. I got... For Christmas, a popcorn canister with three popcorn flakes.
Oh, you got those. That's the second worst gift thing except a candle.
Mike, I swear on my life, I reached down into the bottom of the popcorn canister hoping there was a check underneath.
Like something.
Like a Cracker Jack box. And then Howard has the audacity to call everybody out on the air for the bad Christmas gifts that everybody gave.
Like, yeah,
so, you know, I always had the ball. So, I went in there and go, Howard. You gave us a popcorn canister.
Yeah.
I go, I stuck my arm in there thinking it was a check in the bottom. I walk out of the studio, and Mike Ganji, who was an employee there, he goes, John, I did the same thing. I stuck my arm in because nobody could believe how cheap this guy is.
Yeah, is that what it comes down to? I mean, even when before he made the $100 million, he was still making $10, $20 million a year in the beginning. So he always had the money. Like, I think about it now. I have five people that work on the show?
Yeah.
I don't make that kind of money to go out and buy them something extravagant or to give them thousands of dollars, but we try to get nice gifts for each other for Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine that. Look, I don't know the guy. I never claimed to. I don't know him. I listened as a fan.
Yeah.
And he's a guy who claims to be pretty transparent. So if you listen to him, you think you kind of know what he's like in real life. So I don't know. But man, when I hear these stories, it's so disappointing.
Now, everybody always says, they come up to me and say, is Howard a good guy off the air? And I go, he's a great guy off the air. And they go, oh, so on the air is all an act. I go, no, off the air is all an act.
Yeah.
Because the real guy is the guy that told me to abort my first child because I wasn't fit to be a father on the air. That's the
he said that on the air?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get mad on the air.
Yeah, that's what people say, right? But he said so many horrible things on the air, and then he would never say at... Like after the show, if he was kidding or not.
Yeah.
And Gary and I would always be like, you know, we would always think we were going to get fired because of, you know, he was an abusive boss.
That is not a good environment to work anywhere. I started out the same way in radio where you go into a Friday and wonder if this was going to be your last day. It would ruin your whole weekend. I never want these guys to feel that way.
Yeah.
I'm never. Been that guy where I'm like, oh, that's it, you're done. If you know, if I have a problem with you, I try to address it right out of the gate so that we can. I don't want anybody to stress out about this show after they leave, you know.
And you tell us when you're joking off the air.
Yeah, you know what I mean? There's times where I'll bust your balls.
He tells you.
Yeah, but I'm not joking with you.
Carmen's going, this Howard guy sounds a lot like Mike.
Wait a second.
Poor Carmen. She's been taking a lot of crap lately. All right. How about Robin? Same?
Robin's a better person, but when I gave my 2 weeks notice, you know, she called my wife and, you know, and talked to me and was like, John, I don't blame you for leaving. Howard doesn't pay anybody. I always tell him he's got to look over his shoulder because people are going to start leaving. He goes, you know, I might even be, you know, I might leave. You
right.
Know? And then cut to me on the air, like, you know, next day, she's like, Howard, I can't believe John's leaving. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So I didn't talk to her for about 4 or 5 years. She finally came out to L.A. and apologized and said, John, I was between a rock and a hard place. But those guys, all of them, believe me, and I know this as a fact, the things I'm saying,
yeah,
the people on the show there now are happy that I'm saying it.
Yeah.
Because I'm exposing them. I was the first one to talk about Scott the Engineer. I went on the air as soon as I had that conversation with Scott. You know, and even though Scott, you know, he didn't really want it to get out there, believe me, he was happy it got out there. Because, I mean, like, how does somebody treat, like, his staff that way? And look, I don't know if you saw the Post report, where they compare Howard to Ellen, because what happened, Ellen DeGeneres, they did a whole story on it, you know, on how she treated our staff like garbage. And then Howard went on the air and said, you know, Ellen, you should just own it. And then I got wind of that, and I just went, like, I did a rant on my show and just said, Howard, really?
Yeah.
You, why don't you own it? And you know, and that's the truth. And so I don't think – so finally the New York Post did a whole story, me, Grillo, like a lot of the guys from the, you know, the E! Show and Artie and everybody just saying, look Howard, you've been a horrible boss.
Right.
Own it.
Do you think he knows it, or do you think he doesn't – maybe he started to realize it after you guys said it?
After the article, he said he doesn't effing care.
Right.
And then he said he admitted he was a narcissist, and that's why he likes doing his show from home now.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to deal with anybody.
That's very interesting.
Can you imagine that, guys?
I mean, no.
He says that, but I bet you that that's going to wear thin on him without people kissing his ass to his face all the time. Now, what? Now Spanish would walk through fire for me.
Yeah.
And then I could smack him when he gets through the fire, and he'd go back the other way for it. He's that kind of loyal guy.
Yeah.
Is Gary that way, or is Gary more like you behind the scenes?
Well, I'll tell you, this is the best way to sum it up, is the last day I was there, Gary, I was in Gary's office, which was like the size of a cubicle, you know, tiny, and he had his wife on the phone. And, you know, and then I was talking to his wife, Mary, and she goes, John, we're so jealous of you. Because everybody's always wanted to get out of there.
Yeah.
You know, because it's, look, I know you say it's on the air, but, and I know people could go, wah, 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 John, stop crying. And I'm, look, there's a lot of good about Howard. I hung out. I had dinner with him. I was in his inner circle. I would go, I would sleep at his house. So, you know, so we would have a lot of good times. But, you know, at some point, you know, like, you got to say what the truth is.
And, yeah.
You know what I mean? And Howard's become everything he goofed on. He used to goof on Imus for being, you know, having the hot young wife.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I remember that he did a bit on, I remember we all goofed on Joe Piscopo because he sang to his wife, Kimberly.
Yeah.
Kimberly.
Like, and then he did.
Last year, Howard's singing a song to Beth. I'm like, oh my God, he's become everything he's always goofed on.
It's such a weird situation. John Melendez, Stuttering John, is here in the studio with us.
And I know, like, people are going to go, oh, John, you sound so bitter.
I don't think it doesn't come across
as
bitter.
I'm grateful that Howard gave me my start. But just like I always say, like, Lorne Michaels, right?
Yeah.
You know, everyone knows, executive producer of Saturday Night Live. Like, he discovers Adam Sandler, right? So, okay. But Adam Sandler starts doing really great bits on the show.
Right.
Doesn't it even out at some point that Adam Sandler's, like, doing for Lorne what Lorne did for him? Like they suddenly become, like, they're helping each other.
Yes.
Howard Stern never perceives it that way. Like, he doesn't see it that anybody's helping each other. He sees it that he gave you a start, and now you're indebted to him for the rest of, you know, of your life.
I feel like...
And he hates if you leave and you get... any success.
That's the problem. I feel like Spanish, we gave Spanish a start. If he said to me tomorrow, I've got a great opportunity that's going to pay me $1 million out of this market and I have to leave, I would be proud of him. I had a girl that worked on the show that left to go to another show, and I was so happy for her.
Yeah.
As long as they're not going across the street and becoming my competition. But that's, I mean, we raised this kid, and now he's going out and doing his thing. You weren't even in the same medium. You were going to TV.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he be like, ah, good, now we got a buddy on the Tonight Show. We got one of our guys is over there, and then we can develop a relationship with Jay again.
Yeah. And John is an ambassador of that show. You see John, you think of the Howard Stern show. So if he's on TV, that's helping. You know what I mean? Like, that's definitely, he's a walking billboard for the show.
Right.
What's this guy's name?
Galvin.
Galvin, great point, because, like, you know, if you look at Jon Stewart from The Daily Show, all those guys.
Carell.
Colbert.
Yeah, all those guys.
All those guys were its correspondents. See, Jon Stewart, they leave to go on and do bigger and better things. He's happy for it. Because not only is it good for them, it says something great about Jon Stewart for finding this talent and procuring this talent. Howard doesn't see it that way. He beat Jay up so bad after I left.
Yeah.
Like, just nonstop every day. Finally, Jay was hearing it because Jay, like, everybody would tell him, Howard beat you up again today. Finally, I went up to Jay and said, Jay, I'm so sorry. all this is because of me. And Jay put his hand on my shoulder. And I forget. He said, John, I don't give an F.
Yeah.
You know, because he really, but it did bother him. I know it bothered him.
It bothered him, I think, because he, you know, and this is something we experience a lot, too. Writers on these shows, on these television shows, will steal ideas from other people. Do I think Ellen has ever heard of this show before? No. Have they done stuff on their show a week after we've done it? That, and we're like, well, that's a... Well, I don't think Ellen's stealing our idea, but there's somebody who saw something on the internet and is like, how could we use... The guys, the Stengel brothers, who were the executive producers of Letterman, tell us all the time. We do. We did a bit on our show. We do Who's My Baby's Daddy on the Maury Povich thing, where we just try to figure out who the father is. He said, we heard, the first time we heard it, we were trying to think of a way we could do it on Dave's show and try to take it and do it, because it's what we do. And wow. So I understand that Howard felt like he was losing some of his material, but that's not on Jay. Call Jay up and say, hey, that's my gimmick. You didn't invent man on the street interviewing.
Well, here's the thing, Mike, and this is the thing that really I discovered when I started to work on The Tonight Show. For years when I worked with Howard, he accused Jay of stealing the homeless game with jaywalking.
Right.
I always believed it. You know, and I'm like, wow, Jay stole Howard's bit. It turns. I did the first homeless game. It was at the Yankee Day Parade in 1996.
Right.
Okay. It turns out, when I get to the Tonight Show, the head writer Joe Medeiros, I go, "Yeah, but you guys stole jaywalking." He goes, "What are you talking about? We've been doing jaywalking since 1988."
Yeah.
So all of that garbage that Howard was saying about Jay Leno was all untrue.
Yeah. I'll tell you. I was a real big Howard fan for years, and I always was like, screw Jay, just from listening.
Yeah.
Then we had Jay on the air.
Yeah.
And we were like, God damn, Jay's a good dude, man.
Nicest guy in the world.
Not just nice, but like answered every question, had no, he was like, man, I did told this, and I go, no, that doesn't bother you enough. I don't want to bother me. Like, he just was, couldn't have been nicer. Then I met him, and he was even nicer then, and I thought, you gotta take what you hear and find out things for yourself.
It's like this, Mike. If you ever come to L.A., right?
Yeah.
Seriously, you know, give me a call. I'll take you to Jay's garage.
Yeah.
You know, that's how Jay is. And then we hang out. Jay's got his kitchen and his garage, and then we have lunch, you know, with Jay. I've brought people there. Like, anytime, like, if I ask Jay to do my podcast, he's there. You know, he did a blurb, you know, for my book that came out.
Right.
I mean, he's always there. Howard wouldn't even be in my MTV music video.
Yeah.
You know, after I was signed.
And I love that album. Yeah. We played it on the way in. I loved it. I bought that album when it first came out, and I was blown away like everybody else. I was like, this guy is really good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
But look, I had Sting do my video. Sting, yeah. For the Police. Gene Simmons, Nuno Betancourt, Gilbert, you know, Grant Powell's. Yet Howard can't do it.
Yeah, that is really weird, man. And then what happens is, John, is that when that goes on, I mean, you could survive without it, but you start generating those feelings inside where you're like, now I hate him inside, you know? Now yeah. I see what he thinks of me. And no matter how good your working relationship and all that stuff is, it's always going to go back to what's inside. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, Mike. It's like, you know, look, you know, when I was a kid, you know, my father would... beat the crap out of him sometimes.
Right.
So you kind of develop this love-hate kind of thing going. And what happens? The same thing with Howard.
Yeah.
Because you love the guy, but then he's calling you a loser, you have no talent, all you do is stutter. It starts to wear on you.
I know that. I was in that position. I worked on another show where I was a producer, and I you know, when you start being told that you're unnecessary to this show, and only one person needs to be, and then you're like, finally, like, all right, well, screw you then. I crap on this guy on Spanish as much as I can.
Why do you call him Spanish? Are you French?
He used to have really big hair, like the kid from
Old School.
Old School was called Spanish.
No. Are you Spanish?
I'm Puerto Rican and Italian.
Oh,
yeah.
Puerto Rican Danish.
Oh, hey.
Como esta, mi amigo?
Bien, y tú. Don't miss out on the biblioteca. I got it.
Finally, someone who likes you.
Yeah, right.
But at the end of the day, he knows how I really feel about him. He knows how much I know. I appreciate how much he works. And Carmen, we bust her balls, but she's works just as hard on the show. And you know, when the show's over, that's an entirely different relationship that we have. I don't treat these people the way I do on the air.
You've also, at least with me, you've always been easy to talk to. So, like, if I ever felt like I was doing something wrong, he's made it very easy for me to just text him or call him and be like, hey, am I terrible at my job? And either he'll be like, yes, you are, or no. So there's never like that guessing game. Yeah, so there's never a guessing game of am I going to get fired? Because you'll know, you know, what's going on.
Well, you know what's so funny about that is that, you know, with Howard, like I would write Howard jokes all the time.
Right.
I had a computer where I was. He had a computer in front of him, so the jokes I wrote were on right in front of the screen. Jackie and Fred's were right in front of, like he had a camera in those days, a camera yeah. on the. So we all would write jokes, and sometimes like a joke of mine would kill, and I was like, yeah. And then I would go in the, you know, I'd go in the studio during a commercial break. Howard would never ever say good job ever. Meanwhile, Jay Leno, you know, I'm a writer on, you know. He's like, John, you're doing a great job. I got to tell you, you're doing a great job. Like, I mean, you always praise and everything else to everybody. It's just such a different world.
I know, and it just breeds a better environment. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I just don't understand that. It makes me disappointed because I was such a fan for so long. And hearing those stories, hearing those horror stories, I'm like, anyway, John, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No. And that's the thing, Mike. Like, a lot of people hate hearing the truth.
Right.
You know, it's like that. It's like that movie. You can't handle the truth.
Yeah.
I know it bothers people because everyone's been such a fan of Howard's. I was a fan of Howard. I hate having to say this. He's just become like he's just become a horrible person.
I also don't think that you're bitter. Bitter comes across where you're flaming him and never liked him. He's no talent. That's bitter. You're just like, yeah, it just this is the truth. This is what it is. I think there's a big difference. They turned their back on you first, and you were like, all right, well, I'm going to do what's best for me and my family, and I don't think that you did anything wrong there. So I don't think it's bitter when you say that.
I don't know if you got a commercial break, but I have another great story.
No, we're going to go to the top of the hour. We're good. Good.
All right. So I tell Artie Lang. You know, that you know, listen, he was the first guy I told, because Artie was probably my closest friend on the show.
Right.
And I said, Artie, love.
Which, by the way, if I can say, yeah. out of somebody who listened on three different stations, three different formats of the show, a cast member changed up, the best years of that show were right before Satellite when you and Artie were on the show together.
Oh, God.
Absolutely the best. That would make me want to get up earlier to listen to the show.
Well, Artie and I had so many fun times on the road, and like, you know, if you want to YouTube the best hour, even Scott DePace said one of his favorite hours of the show is me and Artie coming back from Columbus, Ohio, after Artie ordered like the whole menu from a Steak and Shake. He was inebriated and ate, like, he was dipping his burger in his chili as like a dipping sauce. I mean, just ate. So I do a half an hour on Artie's menu, and then I talk about how I drank Tropicana orange juice, and there were maggots in it. And then I start, like, you know, like...
Heaving.
And Artie starts going, look at John, he's trying to get a lawsuit out of Tropicana. And he starts going, it's the funniest hour. But Artie and I would have these inside things, like if I tried to crowbar a joke in like I did before with the Tiger Woods,
right.
Like Artie would go like this, go. Like, so for everyone who's listening, like he would like, as
cram
if
it
pulling
in.
A, yeah. Like I'm crowbarring in a joke. So if Artie, I remember Artie made a baseball reference, Barry Larkin, like Howard doesn't know anything about baseball, and I would just go the same thing. So like on the, like Artie and I would have all these like things that would go on. In fact, this is the funniest thing. After I tell Artie that I'm leaving, we had a bet that I came up with that Artie couldn't hit a fastball from a softball, a female softball pitcher.
Right.
So now that was going to be in Vegas in like May, that the Stern Show was going. Artie knew I was leaving to go to the Tonight Show in March.
Uh-huh.
So it was $1,000 bet. So Artie was like on the air as we're arguing about the bet and everything. Artie's like, John, put your $1,000 down on this table now. Howard Walter, put it down now. And Howard's like, Artie, why did you got to put it down now? He could just pay you in the... He goes, no, I want him to put it down. I know why he's saying it. I'm laughing.
Yeah.
Howard has no idea.
Yeah.
But I'm laughing. No, that's Art. Artie's brilliant.
I love Artie. Artie, how's he doing?
He's kind of... You know,
That's never a good answer when it starts with,
Well, have you seen his nose?
I have seen the nose, but I mean, I know that there was a certain point, even when the nose was messed up, that he was pretty clean for a while.
He went off the... he was clean, then he went back on heroin, and then now I think he's clean, but I think he's living with his mother. He's not really doing any...
No.
Because he can't do... If he does stand-up, he's back in that environment, and I don't think he can exist without... like doing heroin. I mean, I mean, when I was in the row with him, he wasn't doing, at least I didn't know, he wasn't doing heroin, and I could tell. But he was like, he would drink a whole bottle of Jack Daniels. I mean, he like he's like the old school kind of legend, you know, old comics.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, at this point, I might as well be like, let him do the heroin. He's going to be fine. He's not dying.
But now you go on the road. Every comic I go on the road with, you know, they have lattes. They go on. I mean, nobody drinks like the Kinison days, you know.
Yeah, no, all my friends are the comics are all sober now. They're all they're like, oh, I went to a meeting today. I'm like, really?
It's still fun.
Oh, that's crazy.
I mean, like me. You know, I'll have a few beers on stage, and then after the show, you know, I go, come on, let's go to the bar, and we all hang out, and you know, I mean, that's, because to me, that's like half the fun.
You know what's so funny is last night I was on Facebook. There's like a group of my friends from high school and grade school that are all connected, and we never do this, but somehow there was like a little chat thing going on, and I was like, you guys aren't going to believe this, but Stuttering John's coming to my house tomorrow. It's more of it, like, because we grew up, you know what I'm saying? Like, and now, not coming on the show is one thing, but now you're in my house. Like, Brian Callen was here, and I was telling my son, I'm like, the coach from that one show, the Goldbergs, is in our garage right now. Like, this is the dumbest thing ever. John is here because he's going to be at Side Splitters. One show? You driving through? One show only?
Just one show, because I booked the Boca the Boca Black Box. I'm stuttering up a storm.
We expect you to stutter.
No,
you're
I know.
Okay, yeah.
I know, but you know, and so then I love Brian at Side Splitters, and I'm like, I'm going to be around, you know, could I get a night? So he said, yeah, you know, come out on Wednesday night. So I drove here last night, and then I went to Maloney's Irish Pub and had a few pints there, and then, so Side Splitters tonight. It's just one show, and then and then tomorrow I'll go back to Miami. But let me finish that Artie story.
Oh yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, no, don't be sorry, because I go off on tangents, but all right, so I tell Artie that I'm leaving, okay?
Right.
Just want to make sure I'm not hitting the top of the hour.
No, we're fine. Why not? Right. We're a lot of flexibility. We're good.
All right. So I'm, you know, I tell Artie at my condo in Manhattan. I go, Artie, I'm going to leave. You know, I signed a contract with NBC. You know, I'm going to go. And he goes, you know, John, I didn't sign the contract. I was about to. And he goes, you know, John, it's great for you, but you should probably tell Howard first, you know. A bad Artie impression, I know. So I go, no, Artie, if I tell Howard, he might, like,
do something to screw it up.
Yeah, he might try and stop it. He goes, I don't know. I don't think so. Cut to this. Now, after I leave, Artie gets offered by Rob Burnett, the producer of The Late Late Show, and Artie was going to be, have a chance to be the host. After Craig Kilborn, I forget which host, but Artie had a chance, and Robert Burnett was going to let comedians sit in and do 2 weeks each.
It was after Kilborn left, because they actually did do that.
Artie was one of those guys that Robert Burnett really wanted.
Yeah.
So Robert Burnett goes, you know what? I'm going to call Howard just to make sure it's cool. Calls Howard. Look, I want to try out Artie to be the host, you know, for 2 weeks, you know, and you know what Howard says? You can't take my effing guy. F no, man. You better not freaking do that.
Yeah.
So now, isn't it ironic? Artie was like telling me,
you to tell
and
him.
Meanwhile, Howard blocked Artie from having like the greatest job. He doesn't have to wake up at 4 in the morning anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's crappy, because that could have been the only time he'd ever have that opportunity to do that. Yeah. I don't know. I with you in your situation, you didn't go from one radio show to another. You didn't make a lateral move. You skyrocketed up. I mean, that's a Tonight Show. Who doesn't want to be on the Tonight Show?
And, Mike, look at it this way, man. I'm a stutterer, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it says a lot. Like, for people who stutter, who have any kind of, you know, speech impediment or whatever, or anybody, a stutterer is going to be the announcer on the biggest late night show ever. I mean, like, you know, that says a lot to, like, people who stutter and people who have disabilities. I mean, so here, cut to this one. I'm sorry if I talk too much.
No, I loved it.
A talk show.
I'm sitting here and wondering to myself, I'm like, I hope this isn't boring to a lot of people out there, because you don't have to be a fan of Howard's show to even understand this, but just the dynamics of any job that you work in. Your boss is a dick to you. This is what goes on in life. This just happened to play out on the radio. And I think there's a lot of New Yorkers on there, so I think there's a lot of people who care about these things. And it's not beating up on Howard. It's just talking about your story and what your life has been like.
Yeah, well, when Howard's like, you know, decides to make this change, and he's a judge on America's Got Talent.
Yeah,
they had that stuttering comic kid.
Yeah, who we've never had on the show, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
and Artie called me after this, and my oldest kid called me as well. And Howard, after the stuttering kid gets, Howard goes, "You know what? You're such an inspiration." I'm like, and Artie called the kid. I'm like, yeah, he's an inspiration. I go, you beat me up, you call me, like you know, all these names in a month. And I left to be in Tonight Show. And instead of being, like, I was an inspiration, you just, like, crapped on me.
Right.
What the?
John brings up a great point, because it's like if they asked you to go, stuttering John has now been hired to read presidential speeches. That's a big deal. John also, you and there's a guy, remember the Ron and Ron show? Ron and Ron show was based out of Florida, and it was a big show in the 90s that was starting to get syndicated, and could have been a good rival to Howard's show if it didn't crumble on the inside. It's Ron Bennington's old show.
Yeah.
And they had a kid on there named Flipper, who is like their street guy.
Yeah.
And it was right when I was wanting to get into radio, and I knew I had to be a combination of Stuttering John and Flipper in order to get in. I based everything I did, because Flipper was 100% fearless. He would do anything that they told him to do, and he did it great, and I tried to do that, have that mentality. And then when it came to interviewing celebrities, I also had no fear with that stuff. I'd ask anybody anything, but you did it first. You did it the best, and you did it first. Some of those interviews are just so... Like, do you know Al Dukes? Al does works at Boomer and Carton or whatever it's called now in the morning. He's a producer. And I tweeted out that you were going to be on the show, and Al wrote back, hey, Mike, big fan.
Yeah, that was
which
my,
is what John would use to get into all with all the
celebrities. Big fan.
Big fan.
Yeah, I was always a big fan.
Who is the worst? Who is the biggest blow-up as far as celebrities that you interviewed? Like, I know there was the one where you asked the baseball player, if he ever farted in the catcher's face.
Ted Williams. Yeah.
And he blew up. I know. I remember seeing over time that there were a couple of celebrities. Like, I mean, my favorite moment is ever is John Goodman's walking in somewhere, and you shouted a question at John Goodman, and he turned and looked at you with the meanest face ever, and then he goes, "Are you stuttering, John?"
Yeah, I know. You got all excited. Yeah, the gig was up, because a lot of, like, even Norm Macdonald, like, when they tried to send other people, he's like, "Really? I don't even get Stuttering John?"
Yeah.
I don't know.
John would wear disguises.
Oh, God. I dress as a Hasidim.
Yeah.
I dress as a cook. I mean, a chef. I mean, I would sneak into everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, there's so many great ones. I mean, I love when I ask the Dalai Lama if people go up to him and say, "Hello, Dalai."
Yeah. Those are the greatest. And you don't get a lot of it anymore, because people get so mad and they take everything so seriously, you can't get away with doing stuff like that.
This whole world has become so PC. It's like so hard to be, like, even to be a comic nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everything you say is like, everything's like, I have to take stuff out of my act that I didn't even think was a problem, but now forget it.
I don't understand how, of all people, we always, like, you can go to a roast and hear the most horrific things at a roast. Greg Fitzsimmons literally talked about my grandmother, her private parts and her butthole and all that stuff right to her face at my roast, and it was the funniest goddamn thing ever. But outside of that, you do it anywhere else, you could lose your whole career.
No, well, look at Lisa Lampanelli. She just, you know, she had to stop. She's like, "I can't do this anymore."
She was on a good run, too. She really was.
Great. You know, she's such a sweet person, but she was like the female Don Rickles.
Yeah.
You think Don Rickles could ever do that? You know,
No. I watched some of those old... those old shows with Rickles where he'd make fun of Sammy Davis Jr. And I'm like, "Ooh, it was uncomfortable to watch, but it was hilarious." You know what I mean? All right. So now, how is the comedy? Are you good at comedy? Are you good at stand up?
Yes.
Well, I mean, like, I don't know if you're telling stories, jokes, or how that goes.
Oh, it's a lot of self deprecating, but it's all about my life. It's about marriage. It's about dating. It's about having kids. And, you know,
how many kids do you have?
I got three. I'm a Puerto Rican disappointment.
How old is your oldest kid?
24.
Now I wonder about this because I always worry that my kids, none of them, my son's in high school and nobody, high school kids don't listen to the show, so I don't ever have to worry about him getting any crap. A couple of his teachers listen, you know, but I always wonder about you, if you're in the capacity that you were on with Howard Show where they did crap on you a lot, how that translates to your kid. Does your kid look at you as they're picking on my dad or it's all show business?
Well,
it's got to be tough to introduce
him. The only time my oldest kid got mad at me was when I pranked the president.
You came on the show right after that and talked about it. I mean, why did he get mad at you?
He goes, Dad, you should be, you should be donating money to Black Lives Matter instead of making silly phony phone calls. And I'm like, come on, man. I mean, that was like, that's a legendary thing. I had the Secret Service knocking on my door.
John got straight to Trump. They patched a call into Air Force One. I mean, you showed them that their security was awful.
They called me from Air Force One.
Oh, absolutely.
First,
awful.
Jared Kushner. And then Trump, and then I have a conversation, and they think I'm Senator Bob Menendez.
Yeah.
And I always say, I don't sound senatorial, I sound janitorial. And look at this accent. Could this ever be a freaking a senator?
You know Scott Farrell? The sports host? Okay. So before Farrell was doing hockey and whatever he does now, he had a nationally syndicated sports show at night. And my old roommate, my best friend, he was like, you should prank this show. You'll never get through, though, because it's naturally syndicated. I dialed twice, got right through.
Yeah.
And I go, I'm on hold. What did I tell him? And he goes, tell him you're... I forgot the guy's name now. He goes, tell him you're... I forgot the guy's name. Anyway, tell him you're Rich Whatever. And I said, hey, this is Rich Whatever. And they go, oh, okay, hold on. And I go, all right, they're going to put me through. So then Pharrell goes, all right, oh, wow, we got a special guest on the line. Let's go to Rich Whatever, the voice of the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I go, oh, well, I don't know. Now I got to know about the Penguins. I got to sound like the guy. So if I say I'm Bob Menendez and they start asking me questions about government, I'm going to be like, you guys got me. I don't know what to say.
Oh, I was talking about Supreme Court justice picks and, immigration reform. But it's me.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like stuttering through the phone call.
Yeah.
And it's all on tape, It's
like, I wonder, when he asked me, Pharrell asked me a question about Yager, and I had no idea what the answer was, and I just started making stuff up. I wonder if he's looking at his producers like, what is he talking about? And then I wonder if Trump is looking at somebody going, Menendez has lost his goddamn mind. He has no idea what he's saying. So how bad was the Secret Service thing? Because I, too, have had run-ins with the Secret Service, and that is, you don't want to play with them.
Oh, God.
I gave up ever trying to mess with anything that has to do with the Secret Service.
Yeah, I was busy with my producer, and we were kind of celebrating at the pub I go to. We were like, hey, look at that, And then... I didn't know, but Secret Service was banging on my door, and then my neighbors told me, John, the Secret Service was here, and I go, oh, no. And then my agent called me the next day, which is more unbelievable than me getting through the prison. My agent called me. And then I talked to the agent, and she's like, the Secret Service, they want you to call.
Yeah.
So I called them, and I said, what's up? They go, we want you to come downtown, because we want to talk to you. I go, you want to just talk or do you want to arrest me? And they go, we can't tell you that. I go, should I get an attorney? They go, that's up to you. So I called Avenatti.
Uh-huh. And then, smart move, by the way.
Yeah, and of course, he ultimately got me off. He can't get himself off.
Right.
But he got me off, and he just said, are you guys going to arrest him? And they said, no. Then they said, could you put it in writing? And they said, no. And he goes, well, then he ain't coming.
Yeah.
And that was, and then it went away because, look at how the news cycle goes.
It would be more embarrassing if they kept talking about it.
But then Kathy Griffin calls me and I'm telling me about her thing when she had the head cut off thing.
Yeah.
And, for an hour she's talking to me. And, only time she calls me is when she, because I was on, I was in the spotlight.
Right. See, I don't like her. Secret Service comes in during the show, and they just walk right in the studio. And
here?
Back this is like 20 years ago.
What'd you do?
It was when laser printers first came out.
Yeah.
And because we were goofy morning radio, we pretended to copy dollar bills to see if they would work in the vending machine. So I went to the vending machine with a piece of paper, put it in, it rejected it, put it in, it rejected it. Hold on, let me get the wrinkles out. Used a real dollar. It worked. Oh, my God. Blah, blah, blah. Radio magic. And we were like, oh, my God, we're going to make money and this and that thing. Less than an hour later, boom, door just opens in the studio. You go over there. You come with me. Next thing you know, I'm in a room. two years old, filling out my parents' names, my bank account number. Why do you need my bank account number? And they go, because if you're making fake money, we want to see what's in your bank. I was like, I'm not making any fake money. Oh. And that was the first time. A month later, I had a second run-in with the Secret Service. Bill Clinton was golfing somewhere, and he lost his wallet. And we had a guy on the show who did a very good Bill Clinton impression.
Uh-huh.
So he called the golf course to put the president on the phone to see if they found his wallet. I said, hi, I'm calling Detective O'Malley or something from the Secret Service. I don't even know if they have detectives. And please hold for the president of the United States. Then that guy got on the phone, spent 15 minutes with him talking about making Monica Lewinsky innuendo jokes.
Yeah.
And it turns out you're allowed to pretend you're the president. You're not allowed to pretend you're the Secret Service.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, I'm not even 25 years old, and I've got a file with the Secret Service now. So I completely turned the corner on that. In fact, one time I was at a golf tournament or something, or a shooting clay tournament. A guy came up to me. He was like, hey, I'm the Secret Service guy that busts into your studio. I'm like, yeah, I'm still not laughing at that, buddy. Still not cool. 960-1197, our sidesputterscomedy.com is the number to... make reservations to see John tonight at Sidesplitters. One show only, what, like 8 o'clock or so tonight?
Yeah, 8 o'clock. Come down. It's fun. You'll laugh. And, you know, and we'll have a party, man.
Yeah, it's a Wednesday night. You'll hear some good stories. You'll hear some funny comedy. This is a guy who's worked on two of the biggest shows in the history of entertainment, with the Howard Stern Show and with the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. The guy's had a great life. Now, what do? You do a podcast now?
Yeah, the Stuttering John podcast, every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
Nice.
You know, and I have Patreon and all that stuff. I mean, do you guys do all that?
I do a podcast with Robert Kelly. He's a comedian from New York.
Yeah, I know Rob. Yeah. You know, he was on my tour.
Oh, okay.
I've been doing stand-up for 20 years.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know you've been doing it. One time you were on the show with us years and years ago, and I was coming to L.A., and you were like, hit me up. I'll get you on the Tonight Show. I'll get you the tickets or whatever. And I was like, I just hate being that guy, you know? And I was like, yeah, you know, maybe I'll do that, whatever. And I never did it. And then, like, 2 weeks later, Jay announced he retired. And I was like, well, now I'll never get to go. You know, it was ridiculous. Then one time I was in Vegas, and you were performing in Vegas, and I almost thought about hitting you up over there and checking it out. So
why didn't you? You should have came. We would have hung out and partied there.
That's the thing. Next time, I there's so many people that I haven't seen that live in L.A. in so long because of COVID, that I need to go out to L.A. and just hang out for a little while.
This is my first time, you know, traveling and doing stand-up for over a year now.
Yeah.
COVID just, my whole schedule got just...
Did you get it?
What?
Did you have it?
No.
So you stayed free.
No.
We all had it. This one infected all of us right out of the gate.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Leave it to the Puerto Rican.
So now we're all breathing antibodies.
Spanish flu.
Yeah. Exactly.
For real.
Well, thank you for getting up early and coming in here.
Sorry I got had the problem trying to find the place.
I was trying to figure out. I knew the guy from the comedy club knows where it is, so I was like, he must be driving by himself. Go see John at Sidesplitters tonight, and I promise you'll have a good time. You'll hear some good stories and some good comedy, and then check out his podcast. And what do you just get, like, regular guests on?
I've had congressmen, congresswomen. Like, I had Ian Halperin on.
Yeah.
And I have, like, you know, I had Jay on. Howie Mandel. I mean, it's like, you know, sometimes politics and sometimes just, you know, entertainment stuff.
Good. All right. Well, listen, thank you for coming in.
All right. Thanks,
you still playing music?
Yeah, I still, I still play a little bit. I don't play as much, but I got, like, the whole guitar, you know, because I open for so many people.
I know. But listen, I'm going to tell you right now, we have a band. Our show does. Galvin, who's back at the station, plays drums. I play bass. We've got another guy who plays, two guys who play guitar and a singer. And we up until COVID, we were playing every weekend. And
why don't you guys come open for me?
Well, that was the thing. Listen, we're not an opening act. but that was the thing, is that for a while we could... I mean, we would play. Sometimes we have an artist come in the studio, and we get to jam with the artist while they played their song. You know, we had so many cool things happen, and this COVID screwed everything up for us, man.
Yeah, no.
But that would be great if we next time you're in town and we do something, you come and jam with us.
Oh, I would.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants—they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day. You're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.